Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and you can find it again, if you wish to follow, on page 1032, 1032, chapter 5, reading from verses 12 to verses 16. And it's entitled, Jesus Heals a Man with Leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Well, it's good to hear the word of God read. Thank you for reading for us so clearly, Emma. I would encourage you to keep it open, then you can keep an eye on what I'm saying. And let me introduce myself in this series. I'm Charlie. I'm the rector here, the leader of the ministry team. And we've just begun a series. Last week we were at the beginning of Luke chapter 5. And over the coming few months, we're going to be following Jesus through the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to be asking this question, which is on the screen. A disciple, what does it mean to follow Jesus? So last week we saw Jesus' interaction with Simon, a miraculous catch of fish. And he's told from now on he's going to catch people. Now Jesus is continuing on his journey. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along to him with the leprosy. What will happen? Now the word there for leprosy could have meant any sort of skin disease. And if you've ever known anybody with a skin disease, or in my house, if you've known anyone with a cold, you don't really want to go very near them. Isn't it that time of year that if someone's got a snuffle, you stay well back because you know it's so catching? And that was particularly the case in these days. With anything like leprosy, any sort of skin disease, you thought, let's not touch. And it was more than that, actually. It wasn't just sort of let's keep our distance. It was also a thing that meant that you couldn't, if you read your Old Testament in Leviticus, it meant that you couldn't even come and worship with God's people. You see, if you were suffering from one of these complaints, you were not just sort of physically unclean, you were also spiritually unclean. So you couldn't come and gather with God's people. Therefore, the people who suffered with leprosy were not only suffering physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and socially. Remember, this is not a day when everybody has mobile phones or any sort of phone where you can call people. If you had leprosy, you would have been put outside the village or town with other people with leprosy. In fact, we've got a little bit of it in this church still, a little bit of that kind of idea of what a sort of experience of somebody with leprosy would have been. Let me show you. Unfortunately, in the early 20th century, when they decided to put in this screen, they blocked it up. But there's a hole just here. Have a look afterwards. And if I'm up at the high altar, right up there, and I'm holding the bread and wine, and if you stand just at that doorway, you could just about see what was going on. And the visual aid was, these people, they're on the out. They're outside. They're not included inside here with us. But they can see what's going on. And that would have been where the lepers would have been. In fact, apparently, there used to be a leper colony just outside of Lutterworth. And that image there is quite helpful in thinking what this man's experience of life would have been. He would have been always on the outside, separated from other people for however long he had leprosy. So he's suffering physically, you know, whatever the complaint was on his skin, the pain, the losing sensation, maybe even bits sort of coming off and dying. So physically suffering, but also socially suffering, excluded. And spiritually suffering. He couldn't come and worship at the temple. He couldn't come and sit amongst the people of God listening to the word in the synagogue. What's Jesus going to do with a man like this? What is he going to do when faced with a leper, with an outsider, with somebody whose situation puts them absolutely beyond the pale, out of reach? Any sane person would pull away. Any sane person would stand well back to make sure they didn't get leprosy themselves. You see, the normal human experience, isn't it, with any sort of disease or illness or evil, is if we get involved, we will get affected and we'll be sucked down into the kind of vortex, down the drain pipe. So if we touch a leper, we get leprosy. We end up dirty. We end up outcast. So if anyone like that comes near, we take a step back. And maybe occasionally, you know, we might throw some money their way. We're not heartless after all. Maybe we'll respond to the TV advert that tells us to give £5 a month. But we can't get involved. We can't touch. Because if we touch, we will be affected. And this man comes to Jesus and he throws himself on the ground, face down. Do you see that? And he says this, verse 12, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." You see, he realizes immediately that the problem isn't God's power. It's not that God can't do it. But his question is whether or not God will. He comes to Jesus and says, "I know you can do it, but are you willing?" And I want to ask this question of us in two different ways today. The first is this. Will we admit our desperate need of God? Will we admit actually that we are beyond the pale? We have made so many mistakes. Our lives are littered with the mess of failure. Even our hearts are still such a muddied mix of good and evil. Will we throw ourselves on the ground in front of Jesus? And if you're a Christian, you still need to do that daily. We daily come in repentance. Every Sunday, our communion service liturgy brings us to God, saying, "God, show us what we're like," and brings us to God in confession, coming for forgiveness. And if you're not a Christian, you need to understand this is how the Christian faith works. You acknowledge your weakness. There's no room in this church for the self-righteous. There's no room in this church for the spiritually self-satisfied. Will you throw yourself on the ground before Jesus and say, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean"? The second question I want to ask is this. If we are called as the people of God, as a church here, to be like Jesus, will we be willing? Look at verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man. Imagine touching the man. He would not have had anyone touch him since he got leprosy. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus did not stay far away. The message of Christmas that we celebrated just less than a month ago is that Jesus looked at our mess and rolled up his sleeves and got involved. The God of heaven, the eternal Son, did not consider equality with God something to be clung to, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, and became obedient even to death on a cross. Jesus plunged into our mess to bring us redemption. Are we willing? I want to show now a video clip. This is a video, so many of you will have known Jodie. She's just sitting at the back, hiding behind a coffee cup. It's been wonderful for us to have had Jodie as part of the church for many years. But she says something of her struggle. And so it's wonderful to have her back. She hasn't been back with us for a year. But let's listen to her story now.
So I'm Jodie, 36, and I grew up in Wandsworth. So I ended up in hospital with my mental health, meeting somebody there, and it then ended up in a bad relationship, taking drugs.
And roughly how old were you at this point?
15. I've been an addict for 20 years. And I had my kids, I looked after my house and my kids. I was functioning, I was holding things together, but then it all come to a head. About 2 years ago, I hit rock bottom. And then I had nowhere else to turn, so it got to a point where I couldn't look after my kids. I just wasn't the mum that I should have been to them. I tried to be, but I couldn't. And it felt like, I didn't know at the time, but God brought me to my knees in a place where I needed to be. And I'd try anything. Then I found Hope House.
So tell us, what's Hope House?
It's a Christian rehab for 12 months. So I've got 4 weeks left now, and then I'll be finished. I never thought I'd finish it. But then I'm going to go to the Bible College. It's a leadership academy.
But it didn't all go quite as smoothly.
No, I went last year for a month and then I left. And I thought I'd hit rock bottom before. But then I became homeless. I lost my house. And I lost everything that ever meant anything to me. I thought I'd hit rock bottom when I went the last time. But I needed to, obviously, I weren't to my knees enough. So then my sister helped me. She got me back in touch with Hope House. So I went back there in April. And then just since then, God's done amazing stuff in my life. And I could cry now. So you get counselling at Hope House. They bring structure back into your life. There's a programme and a timetable and that you have to follow. There's structure there and routine that I thought I had before and life skills that I thought I had. But I didn't have them. And I thought I was functioning before, but I wasn't. I was just kind of surviving. I was just trying to get through life. I've come out the other end of it. And I realised that I don't need to survive. I need to thrive now. I'm looking forward to my future and my life now.
So what sort of things do they teach you at Hope House?
So you do teachings. You go to class. And you do teachings on growing through failure, temptation. How to study the Bible, how do I know I'm a Christian, there's 13 teachings and all, and then when I get back I'm doing my big test, so that's all the tests we've done, it's in one big test.
You were, you know, you'd gone along to youth group at church when you were little, or when you were younger, you'd also been part of St Mary's for the last few years. What do you think's changed now? Because you knew about God. Yeah. What's the difference now?
I've let him into my life. And now he lives in my heart. I don't know, I'm just willing to surrender everything because I have nothing left. Yeah. And it's only God could have done that. Nobody else could have done that for me. I've tried everyone. I've seen counsellors and psychologists and been to hospitals and nothing else worked. So I know that's God. Definitely.
So good. Let's love it. I'm going to bet you to. I'm going to cry in a minute.
It is though.
Yeah,
it's the only
so
thing
wonderful.
That's worked for me. Yeah.
What are you hoping is going to, you know, what you're hoping is now going to be different?
So, I'm going to make steps towards, well, first of all, get into leadership and do all the Bible study that I can fit in. And then I want to aim to have my children back there with me. But then I want them to start living that life. I want them to do it with me. Yeah.
So what's leadership? What's the Leadership Academy?
It's like a Bible college. You learn all about the Bible in detail. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about that. I can't wait to start doing that.
And is that with a view? Is that supposed to train you to do something?
I want to go into kids ministry. Yeah, like with Asbo kind of kids. But I can't do it secular work. I don't want to do it through that. It needs to be Christian ministry with kids. Yeah. So I'm excited.
It's really. So what would you say to the wider church? Some of the people here will have known you for ages. What would you say to them?
I think, first of all, never give up on people. And people can always change. But I think something like Hope House, it would be good for everybody to do it. You know, you think you're a Christian when you go to church, but it's practicing it and walking it out. It's important.
And what about other people? What about people who aren't Christians, who might have known you before? You know, if you were walking around Lutterworth today and you bumped into someone and says, "Oh, you're looking great," what would you want to say to them?
Thank you. But people can change. Don't give up on people. Don't write them off because of what they're doing. You know, if it's their mental health or drugs or alcohol or whatever, people can change. That's not them. That's the behaviour is their drugs. It's not. You know, you need to be there for people, come around people. Because if they've got nothing and no one, they feel like they've got nothing left to do. So they may as well carry on doing what they're doing. So just don't give up on people.
And if they said, you know, "Oh, my sister went to rehab. She was back on drugs 6 months later." What would you say to them?
But they didn't try and go to rehab.
Go on,
they
so
need
what,
Jesus in their life. That's what they need. Seriously. It's what everybody needs. Yeah.
Great.
It's changed my life.
Jodie, thank you. Can we give her a round of applause for sharing the story? That was... That's the difference that God can make in somebody's life. And is still making, and Jodie is still very much aware she's on the journey. But isn't that wonderful? I was very struck by one thing that she said, which was about surrendering all. She had nothing left and surrendered all. And I think that's where we find the man here today. He had nothing. He was cut off. Other people would have looked at him as somebody with no hope. And he surrendered. Jodie also said that everyone needs to go to Hope House. I'm not sure we could actually manage to keep the church running if you all went off down to Wales. But this journey is not just for people who know they've reached the bottom. In fact, one of the things for us as Christians is we are constantly coming back to acknowledge before God our need. And time again, we come face to face with some sort of issue or problem that we hadn't realised was quite as big a deal. So that's my first question is this. Will you surrender? Will you fall on your face before Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, make me clean"? Or maybe "make me clean" isn't the most helpful phrase for you. Maybe it's, will you change me? Or will you forgive me? Or will you give me new purpose? Lord, if you are willing. And the other question I asked you was this: are we willing? Are you willing? You see, it'd be very easy for us to sit in our traditional church and work through our liturgy and, frankly, get along perfectly well. Every so often, sort of our feathers are ruffled by somebody upsetting us, or there are things maybe that we don't particularly like. But are we really willing to go out there? You see, because particularly in this country, the walk of a faithful Christian can look very easy. And we can often fool ourselves, actually, that just by being in church and praying occasionally, that we're really living out our faith. Our series is all about what it means to follow Jesus. And in this passage, I think one of the things is to say, yes, surrender, but then get on board. Jesus is on a rescue mission. Are you willing? Are you willing to reach out to the person who is different to you? Are you willing to get involved with other people's mess in the hope that you might be able to help? And I want to offer a really clear challenge to us as a church. This is not other people. This is not for special missionary types or those with a heart for the poor. This should be the calling heard by every Christian. To be willing to step out in faith, to do something difficult. And for some of us, that might mean talking with the neighbour that we had a falling out with years and years ago. For other people, it might mean really digging quite deep in the bank account to support work like Christian rehab. For others of us, it might mean getting involved in something, perhaps locally, like the food bank, or further afield. But Jesus is come, and he's in the business of rescuing people, rescuing us from the mess that we get ourselves in. And so even as we fall on our knees, flat on our faces before Jesus, he lifts us up. And he lifts us up in such a way that actually he sets us on a path. There are all sorts of people we might think are beyond the pale, that we couldn't possibly go to. Maybe we don't doubt God's love, but we doubt our own, or our own willingness, or our own ability. Let's answer that call to be a disciple of Jesus, to receive his mercy, and to dish it out. And look what happened in verse 15. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. The outcome of this was evangelism, people sharing their stories, saying, look what Jesus has done, and people came to hear. And yet Jesus continued on his way. He often withdrew and he went to lonely places and he prayed, because he knew that he'd come with a mission and he wasn't going to get distracted. Let's pray together. Lord our God, thank you for your mission. Thank you for your mission of salvation and healing. Lord, we thank you for Jodie's story, for the way in which you are still at work in her life, the massive transformation that she's experienced and that we've seen. And Lord, we pray that for each one of us, that we would know what it is to truly surrender and receive strength and forgiveness forever. And we pray too that you might call us to go and be with people who are different, people who are outside, people that we find difficult, that we would act for you as part of your mission. Amen.